Hey folks, in this episode, I get to sit down with Mr. Chris Smith. He's the brain behind the Out of Chicago conferences.
This is TWIP.
Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. I am your host, Frederick Van Johnson. Today I'm sitting down with my friend and fellow Chicagoan, Mr. Chris Smith. Chris and I are going to talk about the latest Out of Chicago conference and how that went, his pivot to virtual, all that stuff, and then how he's planning to move forward in the future amidst this whole sort of sea change in the conference space. So Chris Smith, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you, Frederick. Great to be here. Thank you very much.
It's good to have you on, man. I'm excited to chat with you for a lot of reasons, some of which will become clear during this conversation. But yeah, that's a cliffhanger. So
that's right.
I'm excited to chat with you. So for the folks that may not have heard of Out of Chicago, the conference, what is Out of Chicago? Give us the quick sort of elevator pitch origin story of that conference.
Sure. So Out of Chicago, I mean, originally it was my blog. Like, I think it's been like 11 or 12 years now, but eventually we started doing conferences in Chicago. This would have been the 7th annual get together conference downtown Chicago, or was this the 8th year? I don't know. But that was what we did for a long time. And then, you know, we've just kind of seen over the years that coming in person all the way to Chicago, because people had come from around the country, around the world to it, that we found that it's better to go to the destinations where people want to shoot. So we've started now, our conferences are around the country. We're going to Moab and Acadia National Park this year, and Death Valley next year. So all sorts of different places, and really have gotten a little bit away from doing the downtown Out of Chicago conference. But this year we did it online instead, and it was fabulous. And basically the response we got from everybody was, don't go back to how you did it before. This is awesome that we can do it. You know, in our pajamas from home, and you know, just get to see all just the general things, because originally the conference was kind of all different genres. I mean, you've been an instructor in the past, and we would have portrait people, Lindsay Adler. We would have people you know, doing landscape. We had kind of everything, lots of street photography. And now instead, it's like, okay, we're going to go to the Botanic Garden, and we're just going to do flower and garden photography, or we're going to like I said, Acadia National Park, and we're doing landscapes and creative nature photography. So that's kind of how we've changed. But yeah, everything's totally different for everyone now, right? So
yeah,
so everything's yeah. really changed the last couple of months.
Yeah, I think that change was coming anyway. You know, you and I have had offline conversations just sort of about the state of the photo conference and education, online education industry, and how that's converging. And you know, the old school conferences, or the attendance was getting lower and lower. And now after this latest adventure, you know, with COVID, you know, conferences are getting canceled and moving online, much like yours did. Yours was able to pivot a lot easier than some of those bigger conferences from my external opinion, I think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, largely because you had already built sort of this next generation conference that wasn't, hey, come check out this massive array of booths that people spent gazillions of dollars on, and then they're downstairs, go to the education. You kind of flipped that on its head. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So, I mean, when we decided to run our first photography conference, we were running it, and I had never been to a photography conference before. I'm like, I don't know, what would you do at a photography conference? Well, you'd go out and shoot, you'd get to hang out with you know, all these people that you follow online. It's like a really great networking opportunity. And yeah, we'll teach some classes too, but it was really different, especially like I said, like 8 years ago, most places it was like, you come, you watch one lecture, then stay and watch another lecture, and then, you know, watch a couple more and go home or whatever, and then go to the trade show or, you know, whatever. So, what we built was really based around shooting. And so we did a lot of the street photography and the downtown architecture photography in Chicago. But by switching it that way, it made it a whole lot easier to go virtual. Well, that's kind of ironic because we weren't doing the shooting, but we didn't have this huge, big infrastructure behind it. We're just a very small company. I have a few people that help me run it, and they're awesome, by the way. And yeah, they are, yeah. Yeah, it's a great team that I have, and we were able to. It was unbelievable when this all hit, and we didn't cancel another conference. We weren't planning on doing this normal out of Chicago conference. We were going to do something that was just architecture, which we weren't able to do, of course. But instead, you know, we said, well, we've got all these instructors. We had 70 instructors at the thing. I said, I've got a list of, you know, all these people. We could email them immediately. We could ask, hey, do you want to do this? Well, and the best part of it was that they were all stuck at home. And so they're like, yeah. Well, I got nothing better to do. So so yeah, all these instructors, timing. Yeah, all were like excited about it. And I mean, it was really meant as something that we wanted to do, but it was also a benefit for our instructors who had to cancel all of their workshops. I mean, that's their livelihood, is, you know, going around the world and teaching. And so we did this instead to help, you know, cover some of those costs for them that they're losing. So we in just a matter of like 5 days, we were able to, we already know how we do our websites. We've already got the instructors. We've already got all their bios and their headshots and all that stuff. And so within like 5 days, I emailed everyone. They all said, yes, we'd love to do it. I emailed like 70 people thinking probably like 40 will say yes. And basically 70 said yes. And so I was like, oh my goodness, we got everyone doing this. And then we put it on the website, and it was like 5 days later we announced it, and we had people signing up like crazy.
That is so cool. That's that classic, you know, I hear the story over and over again in Silicon Valley, you know, with these startups that are in the right place at the right time, and you know, they happen to have built this widget that the world has shifted and now needs that widget, right? And you're kind of, you know, and they're like, I can't believe the demand for this thing. We can't keep up. Very, very right. Similar, you know, and the world pivoted, right?
Yeah, and I think like 2 years ago, you and I talked. I was thinking, you know, I want to do like the Out of Chicago School. We're going to do all of our classes online. And it was similar to what you're doing. And it was like, oh, man. And so I was thinking about that. And so I'd already thought through all the technology. And I'm like, oh, well, we'll just do this and this and this. And boom, we just had it. So very lucky. Really, the most surprising thing of all of it was how well it was received. I mean, I think we had more positive feedback from that event than any of the other events we've ever put on. I mean, normally it's like people are going crazy about it, and then there's one or two people going, that sucked, whatever. But people absolutely loved it. Like I said, they're like, do not go back to the old method for this particular conference. And so we're going to offer these, and we'll still offer our in-person conferences. We're still going to run our conference in Moab if we're able to this year in September, and then in Acadia in October. And we'll do it with a smaller number of people, but I'm really excited about doing it that way. Oh yeah, he's bringing up Moab here on the website. So so I'm excited about that one. I mean, the Moab one is all about astrophotography, and so we're going to be shooting arches, canyonlands, going out at night with these instructors. And so it's going to change a little bit from what you see on the website right now. Not every one of these instructors is going to be coming, and we're going to have a smaller number of people. But I am really excited to try this out, because we're going to do like a hybrid model, like you and I talked about, Frederick. So we're going to teach some of the classes online. We limit these to 100 people, but we still don't want to put 100 people all in one room. And so we're going to teach those big classes online, but that means we're going to have so much more time to shoot out in the field, and we're going to have more time to do small group image reviews, which we always do, but we'll have time to do all of that, to do one-on-one sessions where you sign up with one instructor and work one-on-one and ask whatever questions you want. So I'm really excited to see how those go, and maybe that'll be a model for us going forward, that we can do smaller numbers and do it kind of a hybrid model.
I think so. I think that's definitely, you and I have talked, I think that's the way forward. The in the middle of this you know, global uncertainty, I think the virtual model is, of course, you know, because without virtual, you'd have nothing right now, right? So virtual is the way to move forward. But I think part of the sea change in the world when it comes to this kind of stuff is ultimately a hybrid model, maybe even leading with virtual. And for those that have the means and the fortitude to come to the live version, there's something there for them, you know, that's amazing. So I think you're ahead of the curve. And you said, Chris, you think it was lucky that all this stuff went down. I don't think it's luck. I think it's that old adage of fortune favors the prepared and the bold, right? So you were prepared.
We were definitely bold. Yes.
You got to be bold to dive in. Any kind of thing that no one else has done before is, you know, requires a certain level of fortitude, let's say. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the conference itself, right? This last one that you just ran. One of the things that people love about these conferences is the physical contact, shaking hands with people, saying hello, talking to their favorite instructor. Maybe it's a Lindsay Adler and saying, hey, Lindsay, I love your work. Hey, I'm having trouble with this thing right here on my camera. Can you help me understand the inverse square law? You know, that kind of thing. How did that get replicated into the virtual world? How are you able to kind of quench that thirst?
Can I just totally change the topic, which is when we had Lindsay Adler as one of our instructors, I used to teach physics. And so she's like, oh, let me tell you about the inverse square law. I'm like, oh, really? I'm a physics teacher. Let's hear about the inverse square law. And she just boom, 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 rattled it all off. And it was all right. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. So, yeah, that's my Lindsay Adler story for the day.
That's awesome. Schooled. The school teacher gets schooled by Lindsay Adler.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, what was your question?
That was great. It was a long question. So the differences between like replicating the tactile physical experience in the workshops and how that translates to the online world inside of Zoom or whatever platform.
Yeah, so I mean, we tried to do as many things as we could to make it interactive. We had parties, we had small get-togethers, we had instructors host like a small thing where, okay, if you want to come and talk about infrared photography or whatever, they would just do a small thing and the people would come to that and get to talk. You know, it's not hands-on, but it's very, you know, just one-to-one or just a few-to-one. You get to actually interact with them and they're on screen too, so they get to, you know, everyone sees each other. It went pretty well. At the very beginning, we had Brian Peterson do our opening keynote presentation, which was fabulous. But when he did that presentation, I am almost afraid to say this story. I'll say it. So at the end of the presentation, you know, everyone's comment, everyone could ask questions in the Q&A. Everyone could get in there. We could bring attendees on at any time. Like if we were right here and people were watching, we could bring them in and be like, hey, what was your question? And they could give it right there. Yeah. But at the end of it, you know, everyone was like, that was amazing. That was great. Can't wait for the rest of the weekend. And one person was like, I don't know, it wasn't the best thing I ever saw. Or some kind of comment. I was like, oh, man, I can't believe that you would say that. And yep. To me, it's like, it would be, what if we were in person? Like, would you just stand up in the middle of the theater and go, I didn't really think it was that good. What'd you guys think? It was like,
no.
What? So the next day I got on, just like I am right now, the next morning to kick the next day off. And I said, hey, you know what? We're here as a community to, you know, welcome each other, to help each other as much as we can. And you wouldn't say something like that in person. And we're not going to do that here when we're at our events online. And I got feedback afterward. One guy's like, I stood up in my chair. I was clapping. I was like, you tell him, Chris. So, yeah. So I think the thing that was the biggest surprise was how, the energy that our team has still came across. You know, you still had some personal connections. But what was interesting for the attendees was that they could do it however they wanted. They could be, you know, laying in their bed and just watch and not interact at all. But the people that really wanted to interact, they had ways to do that and really get in there. And so that's what we're trying to foster when we do these types of things.
Yeah, and that worries me too, because, you know, and we'll talk about this a little bit at the end. You know, I'm building this TWIP virtual conference that you and I are going to collaborate on. But the one of the worries that I have is exactly what you said. You know, people you know, let's say they grow a pair of whatever, you know, when they're hidden behind their computer and the internet, a lot of people, and they will say things like you said, they wouldn't ordinarily say to your face or in person. And that worries me, because the dirty little secret, I think, for a lot of online content creators is we're human, you know, and words hurt, you know, and if you say negative things to us, it's not like, hey, let me just send off this, you know, this hate-filled comment and then go eat a bag of Skittles or whatever. You know, it's like that actually goes to another human and impacts our day, right? And I worry about that times 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 or whatever. If not that there'd be that many negative comments, but if, you know, there's a large contingent of trolls, let's call them, in there, how does that affect you? Like, does that, like, did that one guy affect the rest of your conference for you, or was it after you made that little can't we all get along spiel? Was it squashed after that?
Well, I mean, it's a whole different thing when people are saying, Chris, you suck, you know, and you take it personally, you know, then. So that, yeah, well, it was all
good. Out of Chicago is Chris Smith, right? It's synonymous. So.
Yeah, no, I like to say that I'm more just the custodian of the, that was your thing. Sorry, my bad.
Don't steal my line.
My bad. No. So, yeah, I just think that it's important with all the tools that you're gonna you have to use with this that that you make it so that people, it's a personal thing, that when they sign in, they're giving their real name. They're not just, you know, some random thing, or they're not anonymous user logged in. That you know, they should have some, you know, we should know who it is, and mm-hmm. that's how we become part of the community together. So, yeah. And most of the people, lots of the people that came to it are people that have come to all of our things in the past. And so they know how we run. And I kind of just like to think that, you know, I try and always have a positive attitude. It filters down through my team, that filters down through our instructors, and there's a positive attitude everywhere we go. And I think everyone picks up on that. And some of the people that have never been to our things, when they first come in, they don't quite get that. But what's nice is that so many of the people do, and that really helps foster that community. Yeah. I'll tell another stupid story, which is kind of like when I taught high school, why am I telling all these things? When I taught high school and I used to coach the golf team, and so I was the golf coach, and so I'd get new kids coming into my class. They'd be like juniors and seniors, and be like, oh, who's this guy or whatever? You got to be kidding me. Yeah, this is going to be terrible. And I'd have one of my golf kids in the class, and they'd be like, oh, no, Mr. Smith, he's great. Coach Smith, he's great. And then the rest of the class is like, oh, okay, cool. And it's like everyone's on board. So it's kind of the same thing. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, nice.
Yeah. You know, you got to get a few people on your side, and that helps everyone.
You know, I used to, speaking of telling weird stories like that, so I used to, as a kid, I was into magic and sleight of hand and all that. I used to study it, like reading these magic books. And, you know, I learned one of the key techniques for, like, some magic tricks are having what they call a confederate in the crowd, right? Someone who's in on the trick, right? So how did, you know, even mentalists do that? Like, okay, hey, you in the middle. You know, and then they just sort of play along with the gag to sell the rest of the audience. And then, you know, everyone's entertained because it's all about entertainment. So, yeah, very similar. Have a confederate there. So let's leave the past in the past and move to the future. So you're about to I don't know if you've announced it yet, but tell me what's coming up
right.
You know, we talked about Moab a little bit, but what's sort of the next step for the Out of Chicago, let's call it the franchise now?
So the in-person things that we've got planned, they're still going to go. They're going to be a little bit more hybrid. We're going to make sure that everyone's super safe. But everyone, in from the instructors to my team to all the attendees, had such a positive experience with that first online conference. We're going to do a second one, but we're going to do a little different. We sent a survey out to all of our people asking, you know, what did you really like and what could we do different to make it even better? And the biggest thing that we got back was we want to go more in depth. Most of our classes were 60 to 90 minutes. And it was like, okay, this was kind of like the big keynote that they might have given somewhere else or whatever. whatever, and they did it here, which, you know, kind of sidebar, that was really nice. Like, if you didn't go to Out of Oregon last year to see Nick Page talk all about how he does his amazing seascapes, well, he did that presentation at Out of Chicago Live online, and so everyone got to see that. But the feedback we got was, we want to go more in depth, we want to see all new content, we want there to be even more interaction like we're talking about, and maybe time to actually shoot and get feedback on that. And so that's kind of, we're like, well, how would you do that? It's online. So to do that, what we're going to do, and it's going to be August 21st through the 23rd, that's the main conference weekend, and we're going to pair up instructors, so that two instructors are going to teach a big, like, 4-hour block and really go in depth. As a matter of fact, we're going to call it Out of Chicago In Depth, and it's going to be all doing a deep dive on these things, rather than just kind of, you know, this is kind of the basics, really doing a deep dive, and it's going to be all brand new, unique content. And so the point is that those two instructors are going to work together and figure out how they work really, really well together, and make it awesome. Like,
that's cool.
Frederick, is there like a person you would work really well with? You got to think about this. We got to have you on, right? Would you be an instructor?
I would be honored to come on. Yeah, I think that's a really good idea too. The pairing piece of it, because that's the nut, right? That's the nugget that we're trying to crack, and that's that interactive piece of that. And how do you bring the interactivity and sort of hands-on, and I actually made myself a better photographer for having gone to that conference versus, you know, not to discount it, but versus sitting and watching a PowerPoint or keynote or even a screen share post-processing demonstration. You know, put the beginning of that in there. I think that's brilliant. Yeah, I'm excited. And yes, live on or recorded on TWIP, I'm agreeing to come to Out of Chicago. So,
good. Very good. So, very good.
Yeah,
August 21st through the 23rd. Now, people are asking to shoot also. And so the other thing we're going to do is we're going to give people some time after that, and then we're going to ask the instructors to come back. Frederick doesn't know this. And to do a quick image review afterwards. So go out, take those things you've learned, and then come back, and those instructors are going to go over those images and say, yeah, this is exactly what we were talking about. This really shows this, this, and this. They're going to take like 10, 15 pictures from all of them that are submitted and then go, you know, these are a couple of things you could work on and make this even better. And so you're going to be able to learn something new, go out and try it near your home. And that's the other thing, is a lot of these things are all going to be about shooting, you know, not those grand landscapes. Not too many of us right now are going out to these places to get these awesome shots, but how can you get great shots just at your local forest preserve or your local botanic garden if it's open? And so you go out and you do that, you come back and you get some feedback from the instructors. So that's how we're going to incorporate some shooting. We were kind of thinking about, like, what if you did the class and then we gave everyone 3 hours to go shoot and then come back? But it's like, that's just a mad rush. So give some people some time and then come back and do feedback on it. That's the plan.
Yeah, and do like scheduled feedback. I think that's great, because a lot of the conferences I've gone to, you know, I call them these next generation conferences before the pandemic hit and all this sea change happened. But like for example, Sue Bryce and George Varanakis with the Portrait Masters Conference, one, they had a whole area cordoned off for with instructors in there for portfolio reviews, and there's a queue to get into each one of those instructors, right? Because it's like the pent up demand to have people tell you, you know, what's wrong or what's great about your work is there. It's palpable versus, you know, we're all working in these home office silos and going out and shooting alone, and friends and family, you know, they're always going to be gracious and like, oh, that's great, you should make a career out of that, right? But when it's a picture of your big toe or something, right? So,
of course.
You need that real feedback. So I think that's great, man. That's great. And you're doing it right, right? The ask what, you know, the survey part of it, ask your base what they want and then give it to them, right? Period. That's the formula. Ask, what would you buy if I was to make this, and then make it, and then tell them you made it, and boom, you know, that's it.
Yeah. And that's our cool, goal, man. Our goal, even with the the in-person ones has always been, you know, let's make sure that when people come here that they're getting something that they couldn't just watch on YouTube. It's not just a bunch of presentations. It's actually interactive. It's actually feedback on your work. It's actually shooting alongside these photographers. And so that's kind of our challenge, is how do you do that online? It's like they're watching through the same screen that you would just watch YouTube videos on, but we want to create something that's more than just you could watch it on YouTube. And I think this is going to do it. I'm really excited about it. We've just started reaching out to instructors. And so we're really excited to, you know, we'll have landscape photographers, we'll have some street photography, we'll have flower and garden photographers. It's really meant for passionate enthusiasts, you know, and there's a lot of pros that come to our thing too, but we're not teaching like wedding photography and the business of, you know, portraits and how to do senior. You know, we used to do some of that stuff at the Out of Chicago conference, and it was like, I'm just not excited about that, so we don't do it. I kind of feel bad about that. And then it's like, now we got the models, and we got the makeup, and we got all this, and it's like, oh, that's a pain in the butt. So we don't do that. It's really for people that are just super excited. They make photography a huge part of their life. It's a huge part of their creative life, and we just want to help do everything we can to help them get the most out of that.
I love that. See, we're birds of a feather, because, you know, you and I talked a little bit about the, and I sort of foreshadowed it a little bit, the TWIP, photography conference that I'm putting together. Not a whole lot of detail on it to share right now. There's a lot of detail.
Come on, tell all the secrets, Frederick.
I can't tell all the secrets, but I can say that you and I are birds of a feather, and that we're, you know, this is a collaborative effort, you know. So, you know, you'll see Out of Chicago and Chris Smith involved in this effort that I put together. And I'm excited to do it because, you know, like I said, like you said, people don't want to sit through just PowerPoints. People want interactivity. People want a lot of the things that they can't get at physical conferences. And now it's sort of that nexus in time where people like you and hopefully me can provide that. And I think both from a conference attendee standpoint, you know, and the value that you could bring there, as well as from a sponsorship standpoint, you know, how do I get my brand in front of these people that are my customer base? It just makes so much more sense to do it like you're doing it, to do the virtual side of it and put them in front of those people. And then the last thing I'll say is, you know, targeting, like sort of tacking away from the pro photographer segment, the wedding photographers, highly paid New York studio photographers. That's, you know, when you look at the pyramid, the very tip is those people. The base and the mass of the weight of that pyramid are the amateurs and advanced amateurs that are doing amazing work, but just need that encouragement and feedback and all the stuff that you talked about doing. So yeah, I think your train is exactly on the right track and it is going forward.
Yeah. And you know, it just really speaks to my heart. I mean, I feel the same way, whether you're talking about like golf, and it's like, I mean, the most beautiful thing you could do is to be just a really good amateur golfer. Like, I'm not in it for the money. I'm here because I love it and it makes me, you know, enjoy life. And that's the same thing with photography. And I think that, I don't know, those are not the real photographers, but that's where it's really at, is the people that do it because they love it, not for somebody else. And who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to be able to go out and shoot exactly what you want to do and to be able to, you know, make a fulfilling life from that? And yeah, maybe then you got to go back to work. But
you know, school teacher Chris Smith knows that the definition loosely of the word amateur is for the love of, right? It's someone who does something not for the compensation for it, but just because they are compelled to do it because they love it. They're not getting paid for building a ship in the bottle with toothpicks. You know, they're just doing it because they just enjoy the heck out of doing that thing. And that's photography. Right.
And I remember going to some of those conferences where it's like, okay, I'm going to really figure out how I can like make money shooting portraits. Maybe I'll do family portraits. It'll be great. And I went to a couple of them, and I remember someone on a panel discussion, pretty well-known photographer, going, you know, someone someone asks, you know, oh, what do you like to shoot? Like when you go on vacation with your family and stuff, like, what do you like to shoot then? And he's like, oh God, the last thing I'd want to do is bring my camera. That would be, I got to get away from that. And I'm God. Like, if I ever get to that point where I don't even want to do photography, like, I knew right then, I'm like, this is maybe not the right path for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that whole rich dad, poor dad thing. That there's a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I forget who wrote it. But one of the things that I took away from that book, and I think part of the book is based on that, it's the idea of, you know, the guy, the stereotypical guy or woman in their cubicle at work dreaming of their hobby, their amateur thing, right, that they do after work. They love doing it. Let's use that ship in the bottle thing. And then, analogy. And then they decide, you know what? I quit, boss. I'm gonna go make a living at building ships in a bottle. I figured out the business model. I'm doing that. And then they don't realize all the other cruft that comes along with running a business and feeding your family and paying your mortgage and the pressure that comes from doing that, being a professional ship in the bottle builder, that then they start hating the building ships in the bottle, right? So the thing that they loved, they start to resent in the end. That's what you don't want to have happen with photography. You put a price tag out there. Now you got to do it. You can't just go grab the camera when you feel like blowing off steam. You got to do it to feed the kids, right? All right, it looks like the gremlins have intervened in my conversation with Chris Smith. It looks like the power went out at his house. He's having some construction done on the house, and it looks like they may have touched something they shouldn't have touched, and it, of course, dropped Chris offline. But I think we covered most of the topics I wanted to cover in that conversation. Remember, go to outofchicago.com to get on the list and check out all the stuff that they're doing, including this new conference that's coming up where he's pairing photographers together and building that whole out, you know, sort of interactive and feedback component. That is going to be taking place August 21st through 23rd, 2020. So go check that out. I will be speaking there as well. You saw him invite me. So go check that out, and we'll see you soon. That's it for this episode of This Week in Photo. I'm Frederick Van Johnson. We'll see you in the next one.
This is Twitter.